Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Playoffs, Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Oh, man. You feel it? I do. It's been just kind of building all week. It's kind of been there all week, to be quite honest with you, in a lot of different ways. It's here now for sure. It is a Buffalo Football Friday. Friday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here with you. AFC Divisional Playoff Round on Sunday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Back in week one. Yeah, I'm going to rewind all the way back 20 weeks ago, whatever it is. Back in week one, right before the season, I did a show right here, Extra Point Show, and I said, call me with predictions on the season for a record and how the season ends for the Bills. And I said, I'm going to write down your predictions. You remember this, right? I've saved them. I have them here. Okay? We had, and listen, I did not expect, it was total love fest, homerism, if you will, for the Bills. I thought some of you were out of your mind. Like, all these people predicting this incredible win total and Super Bowl championships. I'm like, woo, transition year. I'm not sure. Sure, they have a chance. They have Josh Allen. I mean, of the, let me count, 10 calls that we took on that, and ones I wrote down here on the 10 calls, 2 said the Bills would lose in the wild card. The other 8 said they'd win the Super Bowl. All right, now, that's one thing. But how about Robert in Hoboken and Curtis, our buddy Curtis, who calls from Niagara Falls? Both are the only ones that actually had the record exactly right, 13-4. And both said Super Bowl championship. So we got Robert from Hoboken at 13-4 Super Bowl title. Curtis in Niagara Falls, 13-4 Super Bowl title. We had John at 10 wins in a Super Bowl. Vince at 12 in a Super Bowl. Henry at 11 with a Super Bowl. Mac at 12 with a Super Bowl. And John in Detroit, 15-2. Very ambitious, John. That's okay. But who knows, right? The way this thing went. We had Joe in Tonawanda, 9-8 out in the wild card. Bob in Virginia, 10-7 out in the wild card. We've already passed that. So we know both of you have undersold and underestimated the team, but I don't blame you. I mean, to be here today where this team is with a chance, I mean, they won 13 games and now you're in the AFC divisional round, which is interesting to me. No one predicted them losing in this round or the AFC championship. It was either out early or win the whole thing, right? Now, we're in Buffalo. We're taking calls on the Bills and people are excited for week one, so I'm not surprised, I guess, you know, that happened at that time. But here we are. And I spent some time over the last 24 hours or so kind of just reflecting on the season as a whole. And if you've listened to me long enough here on WGR and elsewhere, podcasts, all the things that we do, all our platforms, but especially on this show, you know that I've always been a big picture person. It's the big picture. That's what it's all about. It's not, you don't take these snapshots and make all these incredible judgments. Now you can based on, okay, well, they're not playing well here or there in certain games. I get it. But the big picture, like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Every game has its own DNA. You can't say just because you played, well, they play like that against the Chiefs. Or, yeah, well, they didn't play the Chiefs that day, right? You can't do that. Every game is different. And I spent some time thinking about and looking back on the season because I just think it's really amazing that we're here based on what we thought this, I'm sorry, what many thought this team would be heading into the season. I go to, when I go to the page where I look at the Bills' schedule, like the entire schedule, and I have it laid out in front of me, the offensive numbers just jump out more than even I really kind of realized, I guess, for the Bills this year. The offensive numbers of, like, how many points they put up. Those first three games, 34, 31, 47, they had a lull, which included the Baltimore game, which was the next week. 10, then 20, then 23 against the Jets. And they just went on a heater. And they had all those games of 30 or more. 34, 31, 30, 30, 30, 35, 42, 48. And then you had, towards the end of the year, a little struggle against New England at home when it appeared they probably weren't going to get the number one seed, but they were still alive for it. 24, 40 against the Jets, 16 against New England in the games the game they played their backups. But really, when you look at this as a whole, it's incredible. The points, the numbers that they put up. And it was a little uneven on defense throughout the year. I mean, they gave up 28 in the first game against the Cardinals, and they bounced back with two really good performances against the Dolphins and Jags. Not great offenses, obviously, this year. And then they started giving up some points the next couple weeks, especially against Baltimore with 35. They had a nice little run of 20, 10, and 10 in the middle of the season. And then mostly, it was around there until, of course, the big one against the Rams, 44, and then 42 against the Lions, and we were all very worried about the defense. And maybe you are still. But I also just think about where this team was, what we were expecting of them, and then where they came, which is why I brought out the sheet of the predictions at the beginning of the year. I think it's fascinating that the Buffalo Bills are in this position now, considering what a lot of the thought and perception was about them heading into 2024. And I think it was very recognizable that it was totally different from most compared to years past, right? Now, some people went really all in and really far on they're just not going to be very good. They're not going to make the playoffs. Total rebuild year, reset year. Some people did that. I think the majority of opinion on the Bills, though, was, yeah, it's going to be a tough fight in the East. They might not win it, and it's a transition year, might take a year here to kind of reset to get back to contending for a championship, which I think was totally perfectly fine and normal to think, as opposed to 2023 and 2022, and maybe even a little bit before that, where it was, okay, this team is ready, they have all the tools, they need to go out and win. You did have, and we've seen this, and we've heard this, the Bills even posted their own Twitter video when they won the AFC East, I believe, and there's been others since then. How many people saying the window has closed? Remember all that? The window has closed. Well, I'm here to tell you, the window is wide open right now. Regardless of what you thought about this team, because if you would have asked me, and we do, right? That's what you do here. I talk about it for a living. I'm sure, and I know this, or actually, back in August, every time I did a out-of-town radio spot, national radio spot, television, whatever it is, and people would say, hey, what do you expect from the Bills this year? I would even say, like, yeah, look, if they win the East, I think that's a good job considering the transition, but they still can because they have Josh Allen. And, yeah, they're probably not going to be the same kind of team, and have the expectations of, you know, getting to, you know, maybe possibly getting to a Super Bowl, but they still should be pretty good because you have Josh Allen and a chance. But maybe you're looking at a situation where you kind of have to do it a different way, which they have. But I this season has exceeded my expectations. I'll say that. But now you're here. It doesn't matter what the expectations were. It doesn't matter what you thought about their transition back in August to this year. What matters is now how you perform and going forward. And they have the Baltimore Ravens coming to town. And I really don't know what to do with this game. I go back and forth on how I think this game is going to play out in my head all the time. I could see a low-scoring game because both teams are going to want to keep the ball on the ground, run the clock, not give the other quarterback time to opportunity, I should say, to do a lot. I probably lean more the other way and say, yeah, but these two quarterbacks are just unbelievable. And their offensive lines are going to try to control the game. And they could, even though they might want to run, they can run for big yardage, both teams. I think I lean more that way. I know it sounds weird to say. I don't know if confident is the word. I was more worried last week, I guess, for this team against the Denver Broncos than I am this week. And the reason isn't because of necessarily like a confidence to win. I think there was always confidence to beat the Denver Broncos. They were the better team. For me, it was always last week. The Broncos had nothing to lose, and the Bills had everything to lose. The pressure was squarely on Buffalo. They're the huge home favorite against a team that has a rookie quarterback coming into your house, and you didn't get the number one seed, and now you got to get back to try and be in the number, you know, you were number two. You got to win one game just to get back to that second round where the Chiefs are kind of waiting. I feel differently this week because I think a lot more pressure is on the Ravens, actually, than the Bills. Now, there is pressure on the Bills, no doubt. What kind of pressure? Not internal. Not like, oh my God, if they don't win, yeah, heads are going to roll, things are going to change. Not from that. I mean the national talking heads, the callers, the fans, like, okay, like here you are. You got to win or I'm slinging all my arrows at Sean McDermott, right? That kind of pressure. You haven't been there. The national, well, here we go again. Bills can't get over the hump. 5 straight years AFC divisional round. But on the other side, it's the same for the Baltimore Ravens, even more so. Because they have a quarterback who has two MVPs, and in a weird way, that kind of works against Lamar in this situation. That he has the hardware, the individual hardware, but not the team success. See, Josh Allen doesn't have the individual hardware, nor the team success as far as Super Bowls or AFC Championships, but for Lamar, that's been the talking point. Well, you have this. But what about the team success? And when your team gets there, you can't play up to that level, right? That's been the talk. And I think that's real this week. It's super real. I'm going to do what I did last week with you today. I'm going to ask you what your confidence level is about this game. We had a real good set of phone calls last week at 803-0550. So we'll do that again today. 803-0550, 716-803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sal Capaccio with you. What is your confidence level heading into this game? Had some good calls in that last week. Had some people who said, yeah, I'm very confident. Had some say, I'm not confident. Well, 31-7. 10-7 at halftime, 21-0 in the second half. And they answered all those questions, I guess. So let's get to it now. Let's get to Steve in Orchard Park, who's starting us off. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Sal?
Good. Thanks, bud.
My call was just basically about what you were saying about the Bills' offense. And, just watching a lot of national shows. I know it's crazy, but all you hear about is Henry, you know, Jackson, understandably. You don't really hear much about the Bills other than Josh Allen. We scored 5 more points than them in the regular season as total. I think Josh has sat out maybe 11 quarters, if I'm right. So I don't know. I just heard a guy say that I don't think Buffalo's got enough around Josh Allen. But the stats say different. Mm-hmm. So in this game, I'm going with number 17 overall. I think he's the difference in both teams because if Baltimore has to rely on Jackson to pass them to victory, I'm not sure they can do it. But the Bills, I know, can. If we have to pass the victory, I know Josh can do it. So, you know, I like our chances, confidence level. You know, this is a great team we're playing. So if they beat us, it's not going to be like, oh, my God, we lost to the Ravens. They're a damn good team. So I just think that I think we're a good team. And, again, if Derrick Henry, if we can kind of control him, not stop him, but don't give up the 80-yarders to him or Jackson, I think we got a good chance in winning. But, again, we're playing a great team, so
yeah.
I think they can go either way.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. No, I appreciate that. And you're right, big plays, right? Don't allow that 87-yard run. Big plays. Lamar's very capable of it. Thanks a lot for the phone call, Steve. Ray in Clarence. Hi, Ray.
Hi, good morning. You know how exciting it would be for both organizations and fan bases after Saturday's game, if Houston pulls off the upset, you know, as a fan, I can look ahead and be like, oh, my gosh, can you believe it? Whoever wins hosts.
I know.
And Sal, you know, as far as confidence level, you know, we lost four games this year. The last one was nothing. What I keep going back to, they're a formidable team. I'd rather play Kansas City this week than Baltimore, but the fact is they lost five games. Five games, however that happened, I don't know, but they weren't playing two meaningless games at the end that they kind of lost with backup. So it has been done. And then finally, these two formidable offenses, I kind of hope it's entertaining, like us in Detroit, you know, with us coming out on top. But, you know, I hear ball control throughout the week. Like, you know, we control the ball, we keep them off the field. It doesn't matter if we start off with the ball and we keep it the whole half. Mathematically, it's probably not possible. But no matter what, they still get the ball right after us. So it doesn't matter. To me, the ball control thing, if we get into a shootout, I'm okay with that. So be it. Yeah. You know, we've proven it. I think maybe their defense, man for man, might be a little bit better, but I trust our coaches better. But when it comes to possessions, I mean, nobody's getting two, three more possessions than the other team unless there's a quick turnover. So I never understood the ball control to keep the other team off the field when they're going to get it right back after you're done doing with whatever you're doing. Maybe you can help explain, because why should we be afraid of our – not afraid of our ability, but, you know, be less confident?
Yeah, I think – you know, I don't I've said this before. I don't correlate time of possession to winning games. But I think last week was a good example of how it can correlate to how the game script goes in controlling the game, right? And I think the Bills did that last week. And to your point, right? Like
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You, they, they, they still scored 31, even though they held it for 41 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, you're still able to score.
I don't know what the possessions were on each side, but it's just that we stopped them more. Yep. That's what it comes down to. It's not like the Bills. Somebody, I think, in the end may end up getting one more possession than the other team, unless you do some onside.
Yeah, without a turnover, by the way, they stopped them. I mean, which was great. So, you know, and that's what you needed too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah, thanks, Ray. I got to run. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Good call, Ray. Thanks. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Sal. I just had a couple of keys to the game that I feel could be lead to a Buffalo victory, and then I do have a question for you. So the first thing I want to say is I think for us to win this game, there's four things. I think first we got to hold Baltimore to under 24 points. I think you take away the, offensively, Allen did not play well in the Cincinnati Bengals playoff game, but defense still gave up 27 last year, the divisional round. We lost, obviously 13 seconds. And then the AFC Championship, I believe they put up 38 to Kansas City Chiefs. So I do think this is a huge game for the defense. I think 24 is going to be that magic number that I think if we're under that, hold them under that, that's what I think will be good for us. I think we need to hold Henry under 90 yards. I saw a stat, I think it was Eric Turner from Cover One said games that he goes over 90 that they're maybe 11-0. I think the Bills can't punt more than two times. And then the last thing I want to say is I think the cornerbacks are going to be crucial for us in this game. I do think the Bills are going to have a great game plan. Obviously, I don't know the game plan. No one knows the game plan except the guys in the locker room. But I think the Bills, we will see them play a little bit more man, and I think that's going to allow opportunities for us to blow up the run. Obviously, when the turnover battle, but I do have a question for you.
Yep.
Have been in a certain podcast and things over the last week, and I have a question. When the Bills put, if the Bills put Dorian Williams on the field, my question is, why is it that they have to take Taron Johnson off the field? Why couldn't they take DeMar and just play with one high safety?
You could, and certainly that's an option, right? But it really takes you out of a lot of what you want to do defensively. I mean, you're going to really be risking, down the seam, over the top. You're really putting yourself at a vulnerable position. You could definitely do that, but I just think that it would be very counterproductive to how you want to play. And also, those safeties, they support against the run as well, right? So, all it takes is him get up to the second level, and then there's only one man to beat. You can do it, but you're just putting yourself at a really disadvantaged position by taking a safety off and putting him on. And what are you going to do with, by the way, the other part of it is, what are you going to do then with Taron, right? I mean, if you bring the other linebacker in, where does Taron play? Where does he fit in? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah, but I think that might even be more than even the first point I made, because if you bring the other linebacker in, you still have your outside corners. You have your nickel corner. You could play with another guy in the box. That's fine. You could do that. It would be pretty different departure from what we've normally seen, but that's pretty much the answer to your question, Mike. It's a good question, and it is the conundrum of Taron Johnson this week with 4-3 and nickel, and we'll see how the Bills play it. Let's go to Marvin. What's up, Marvin?
Hey, Sal, how's it going, buddy?
Good, thank you.
Well, the last caller was, we were on the same page on some of the things. It's coaching and what they do with their players. I couldn't agree more with them. Williams has got to be on the field. There's no question. He's got to be on the field. And this is where I say coaching comes into play. If they come up with that same old too high, the defensive backs 15 and 17 yards.
Yeah, you made the same call last week. You said Williams should be on the field over Matt Milano, and you're completely wrong. I'm sorry, Marvin.
Hey, let me just Sal, we got a different measuring stick here. We're not playing Denver, bud. We're not playing Denver.
I agree that maybe Dorian Williams should be playing a base defense, but
and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you listened to what I'm saying.
I did. I listened all last week.
On the field.
I brought it up on Monday, but you didn't call to say that you were wrong.
What's that?
You didn't call on Monday to say what you were wrong when I talked about it.
Like I said, a different team. Different caliber players. If you look at the roster, Sal, and anybody, and I'm a diehard Bills fan. Diehard
I know that.
Bills
I don't question that whatsoever.
If you look at the roster, our roster, other than a few positions, is not even comparable with them.
No.
So, I mean, people that were all Buffalo this and that. Listen, I want Buffalo to win so bad, but it's going to come down to coaching. And if they come out with that same old weak zone with this team here, I mean, DeMar Hamlin, oh, my God, it's so sad when you see him tackle. And if I looked at that game, the Denver game, I watched it three times. If you look at the poor pass rush we had, I mean, literally none. Russo got a junk sack in the end. Miller got a little bit of something. But if you look at that game as a whole, the pass rush, it was non-existent. Three times I watched that game, Sal. The only thing that might do for Buffalo, it might help them because we don't have a pass rush, and they might be there to put their arm up to try to grab Lamar when he tries to run. But other than that, I'm telling you, it's coaching. The coaches need to come up with something. And if they come out with that same old lame defense, I'm afraid. And that's where I'm at. So Williams, in my opinion, has got to be on the field. And to compare Denver with Baltimore, you can't do it.
No, I'm not comparing that. I was comparing your point to last week, and you were wrong about Matt Milano.
Well, that one game, Sal.
Okay, that's all I'm telling you, but that's okay. I got it. You're always worried. You're always negative. It doesn't matter. 31-7, it doesn't matter. 13 wins, it doesn't matter. I get it. That's how you live your life. It's all good.
No, you really don't. No, you don't. Now you're being a little bit on the poo-poo side. But.
No, but that's okay. It takes all calls. We love when you call because you bring the other side that a lot of people don't bring.
Well, and I try to be objective. I'm objective.
No, I don't think you are. I think you look for the negative. That's not objective. Well, while as other people look for the positive. Well, there's an objective, and then there's people who go too far one way, and I think you go too far the other way, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. If you look at the first run of the play with the Baltimore game,
yes.
Watch that game three times.
I did. I know what happened. I talked about with that Oliver yesterday.
Yeah. Do you see how slow our defensive backs are compared to Henry? A 246.
Yeah, but Marvin, hold on.
They were straight line running.
I know, but Marvin, you're...
Okay, go ahead.
But Marvin, hold on. That's not why that play happened, okay? Once he gets out in the open field, of course, you could say that all you want. But, you know, those guys aren't there to defend the run necessarily. They're different. But that play happened because... They used a fullback to wham block at Oliver, who got eaten up, and then watch Dorian Williams, by the way, who took a terrible angle, and watch Bealen Spector, who got eaten up. That's why that play happened. That's not on the defensive backs. Give me a break.
Well, I would have to say that they have a better chance with Dorian Williams tackling Henry than
yes.
Lamar Hamlin or Lewis or any of the other guys.
Well, you're not going to get DeMarro Field most likely. It would come down to Taron Johnson coming
out.
Let me ask you this. Would you like to see Dorian in place of Taron Johnson then? That's what this comes down to, Marvin. It's not about DeMar Hamlin. Get him out of your brain. It's not about that. If you put Dorian Williams on the field, you're probably taking Taron Johnson off. Would you rather see that?
No, I like him on the field, but as far as on a running play.
But that's what it comes down to.
But if it's obvious, you don't know for sure, but if it's coming down to running, I would much rather have Williams in there than any of those guys because the tackling is listen, he's a big man. Those guys are it's almost like they're afraid to tackle the guy.
Yeah, I don't think they're afraid to tackle him. I got to run. Thanks a lot for the call, Marvin. Let's go to Sean in West Seneca. They're not afraid to tackle anybody. Let's go to Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Just calling about my confidence level is very high for this game. You know, the national media kind of has the Ravens winning it as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm hearing. But what hasn't been talked about is we signed Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson after that Baltimore game, not right after, but after that game. We had a lot of injuries on defense. And the other thing is the Ravens are playing great. Who have they played the last 5-6 weeks? The Steelers, the Browns, the Giants. I'm confident I think the Bills win by 2 scores. We slow down Henry. They say, Lamar, try winning the game, and it's not going to happen. That's all I got.
All right. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go to Dan in North Tonawanda. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Sal. Good afternoon. So I'm not a glass half empty kind of person, but I'm also not a glass half full kind of person. The glass is twice as big as it needs to be person. So I look at it whenever we come to these game of the year type scenarios. I just look at our past track record, which has not been very good. I mean, you look at the 13 seconds game, the Minnesota game here, where Jefferson makes that ridiculous catch, the Rams game this year that we lost in the shootout. The only one that really had success in was the Detroit game in the shootout. So, I mean, what it comes down to is I think the way I've heard it put is your strengths get you to the playoffs, but your weaknesses are what get you eliminated. And I think the offense for the Bills is obviously a strength. The defense as of late for the Ravens has been a strength. So it's really going to come down to how the Ravens offense compared to the Bills defense pans out. And I just think that this is going to be one of those games where whoever has the ball last is going to win. And I think in our past track record, and again, I'm not going to completely slam McDermott because he has had moments of greatness as well, but when it comes down to that, those final minute, that final second or that final drive or that defensive stop that we need, I haven't seen enough in our past history to give me the confidence I need to feel good going into this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate the phone call. There's a lot of concern, no doubt. I mean, they're playing a really terrific team with dynamic players at really key positions. That's why it's so fun. We'll take a timeout. We are going to be joined by Paul Hamilton just briefly. We're going to just kind of go over the Sabres real quick tonight. They do play the Pittsburgh Penguins. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll still get to you in the next timeout. We'll get to Paul Hamilton very quickly just to kind of set up today for the Buffalo Sabres because they do play at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday, and that means we'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.